Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
I want to start out with an apology. When I packed for this trip, I had no idea. I had forgotten that Kentucky was playing Texas A&M this weekend. And I just want you to know this jacket is not A&M maroon. It is plum. I am a Cats fan. I am true blue. I just can't wear blue every Sunday. I have to have a little variety. I apologize for the color of my jacket. Please do not stone me. Wasn't that sad last night that field goal missed by like 2 inches? 2 inches. I don't want to hear you. I know you're over there. I don't want to hear you. Let me tell you. I've been a Cats fan since I was 9 years old. Thank you, Jesus. When I pray in the morning, I say, Jesus, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done. I thank you that you're my righteousness. I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that I'm prospered. I thank you that I'm blessed. I think I'm walking in your ways. And cats, 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 Lord, bless my Wildcats. It's a part of my daily prayer routine. I never pray for Louisville. I know I just alienated half this crowd, but... I told you last time I was here, I grew up in Marion in Crittenden County down here, and I respect Louisville. I know they're part of the state, albeit north, but I am a Cats fan, but I do apologize for this jacket. I'm sorry. Do I need to say more? Is that enough? I'll just leave it there. No, listen, there's so much more important in this world than a ball game. And it is the calling of every Christian to be his witness, the witness of Jesus, and let the world know that God loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody. Anyone and everyone can be brought into the presence of God and can experience his favor, his grace, his blessing, his forgiveness, his eternity. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap. That's what we're here about. Amen. Thank you so much for having me today. It's my privilege to be his witness in the world. I love that. The apostles would, when they addressed a crowd in public, would say, I am his witness. They had seen Jesus alive. And they continued to prove his life and his resurrection by the miracles that accompanied their ministry of the gospel. And that's what our privilege is yet today, that we can preach this Jesus, that he is alive, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he still proves and confirms his word with signs accompanying the gospel. I'm telling you, Jesus is still a miracle-working Jesus. Amen? Amen. Behind me, you see the city of Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Just a small portion of it. There was no way to get the whole city on one photograph. It's a city of 1.2 million people. It's the capital city of Honduras. And then the words, they're not Latin, they're not Greek, and they're certainly not West Kentucky English. Fiesta de Milagros, it literally means a party of miracles. Party of miracles. I believe that we ought to celebrate the miracle-working power and love of God. And that's what we named our crusades in that Latin American country. I'll explain that a little further here in a moment, but I want to just give you sort of a missionary report today and hopefully inspire you to have what is the theme here at the Owensboro campus at present, a heart for the nations. Everybody say, a heart for the nations. I believe God wants to put that within every one of us. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. They preached the Great Commission into me. Even as a young child, I understood that we were to reach out and teach all nations, baptizing them and leading them and discipling them in the gospel. And so I thank God for my spiritual roots there. And I got away from God for a while in my late teen years, but then when I recommitted my life to God, within weeks, when I was 21 years old, 1974, even though I was Southern Baptist through and through and I didn't know anything about God doing miracles today or visions or dreams or gifts of the Holy Spirit, and yet a manifestation of the Spirit came to me one evening when the world disappeared and I fell into a biblical Holy Spirit granted vision, a divinely granted appearance, as it is meant in the Greek. I saw a vision. And I didn't know what I was seeing. I didn't even know what was happening, but I know the world around me disappeared. A brick wall, in fact, I was standing next to, disappeared. And instead, I saw like a video playing from my heart. I don't know if it was my heart, my mind. It was, I was totally, totally separated from the natural world, and I was in the Spirit. And I saw myself on a rough-hewn platform preaching to thousands of dark-skinned people. And in my vision, I was saying, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And as I said that, it was like electricity poured through my being. And it was phenomenal. It was amazing. It was a mind-boggling experience for me. And then as I said that, and I was looking at all those thousands of people, all of a sudden they began to fade, and I began to be conscious of the brick wall I was standing next to. And actually where I was standing, someone asked me, they said, David, where were you? I said, I do not know. I didn't know where I'd been, but I know I had seen something exciting. From that moment, I knew I was called to be an evangelist. I had no idea I would pastor a church. I had no idea I would do anything like that. But I had a desire, a fire on the inside of me to evangelize and to tell somebody somewhere that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Just a few days later, I went to visit my Southern Baptist grandmother, and she prayed me into the ministry, prayed me into the kingdom. I love my grandmother. She's in heaven today. I love her so much. And she was like my spiritual mentor all through my childhood and teenage years, and then in my early 20s. And I was over at her house, and I looked at her kitchen table, and stacks of mail were there, and I saw what looked like a newspaper. And I took a double take. It was called Faith Digest. I wasn't aware of this certain evangelist, but it was a tabloid type newspaper mailed out by evangelist Dr. T.L. Osborne from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was a spirit-filled, charismatic, miracle evangelist. I don't know how in the world my Baptist grandmother got on his mailing list. I think the Lord worked a miracle and made sure I saw it. But I looked at that paper, and there was a big picture of Dr. Osborne preaching to a crowd of dark-skinned people. And it was just exactly what I had seen in my vision. I began to read through that paper. I read about the gospel he was preaching. I read about healing testimonies. It boggled my mind. Healing? What in the world is this? I saw all these pictures of his crusades, the testimonies. Something rang true on the inside of my heart about this. I'd grown up after church, after Sunday morning church at the Baptist church. I remember I'd go home and we would watch Oral Roberts on television. And we'd watch A.A. Allen on television. Anybody remember the 60s and the 70s and some of those old programs? And I remember seeing the miracles and the healings. And I remember my grandfather saying, that's not right. That's fake. He's paying those people to say that they're healed. But in my childlike faith, I would watch those television programs and I thought, that's really happening. That's real. That was resuscitated in my heart as I read that paper from Dr. Osborne. Years later, I had the privilege of traveling and attending one of Dr. Osborne's crusades in India, where 200,000 Hindus showed up in four adjacent cricket fields and heard the gospel, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Hindu Indian people got saved, lift their hands, and confess Jesus is Lord in that man's ministry. What an inspiration that people have gone before us preaching this gospel. Thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for Finney. Thank God for Sunday. Thank God for Reinhard Bonnke. Thank God for all of these people, because they've done some things that ought to inspire every one of us. We ought to all believe in every form of evangelism that we can use to reach the lost. We have a great commission from God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's not the whole commission. Read on. Mark the 16th chapter. Jesus said, if they believe it, they'll be saved. If they don't believe it, they'll be judged. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He not only sent us to preach the gospel, he sent us to preach the gospel with power, with miracles that confirm the word of God and prove that Jesus is alive, his gospel is true, and Jesus really does love everybody, and he'll pour his life into their lives. Come on, somebody. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's amazing. The gospel is miraculous. Our gospel is not an argument. It's not a debate. It's not a class. It is a transforming message and word from heaven that transforms the soul, heals sick bodies, and drives demonic spirits out of the lives of believers. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap. It is miraculous. Miraculous. And as I began to study the Word of God in my early years of ministry and training, I found that the only man called an evangelist in the New Testament, a man by the name of Philip, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, went to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. You read it, read the details of the passage. He preached a very simple gospel. He talked about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, and his message was Jesus. He didn't get sidetracked in all the side issues. He just talked to them about Jesus. And the Bible says that the whole city paid attention to what he said, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wow. He took a tip from Jesus. What did Jesus do? He preached the gospel, but he did it with miracles. And the Bible says multitudes of people came to hear him and to be healed of him. Jesus ministered in mass miracle evangelism. Philip ministered in mass miracle evangelism. The Apostle Peter ministered in mass miracle evangelism on the day of Pentecost. He won 3,000 people to Jesus, but only after a miracle, a sign, a wonder of languages had been manifest in that crowd. And people came and saying, what in the world is this? What does this mean? What's going on? Peter stood up and said, this is the outpouring of the Spirit that Joel prophesied. This proves that Jesus is alive. Folks, our world needs more than an argument. They need a miracle proof that Jesus is alive and he's the Lord of heaven. Amen? Come on, they need proof. If all we got's an argument, you'll never whip a Muslim. You'll never convince an atheist. You'll never win the lost. It's not about us arguing people down. It's about preaching Jesus up and letting him be known among the heathen and the pagan and the lost and the unbelieving of the world. Jesus is bigger than the argument of human minds. He can convince anybody if we'll let him loose. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let him loose. And so I began to believe a long time ago that we need to preach with God's power in manifestation. I want you to look at a scripture with me found in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape our sins? How shall we escape this hard life we live on this planet? How are we ever going to get out of the fix we've got ourselves in? How are we going to ever escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And folks, our salvation is great. In the Greek, it can read like this, so such a salvation. Oh, wow, it's such a salvation. It's such a gift. It's such a grace. It's such a power to transform the human life. How are we going to escape if we neglect it? This message, this gospel, this salvation, at first was spoken by the Lord. How many of you know Jesus talked about this salvation? Then it was confirmed to us by those that heard him. That's his apostles. They also preached this salvation and confirmed it. And then it says this, God also bearing witness God preaches too. Jesus preached the gospel. The apostles preached the gospel. We're trying to preach the gospel, but God in heaven preaches the gospel. How does he do it? Both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. God helps gospel preachers by giving, affirming, confirming supernatural signs and wonders to prove to the world that what we're saying is true. The word, the phrase various miracles in the Greek could be translated different miracles, different kinds of miracles, different variety of miracles. How many varieties of miracles can God do? Well, show me how many people are in the earth, and that's how many different kind of miracles he can perform. Various kinds of miracles, or in the Greek it reads like this, party-colored miracles. Party-colored. You know when you throw a party, you got all the color, all the different color balloons. I found out that Latinos, Mexicans, Central Americans, Hispanics love color. You know us Anglos, we paint our house white, red brick. Not true with Hispanics, man. You go to their houses are pink and orange and aqua, and I don't know if it's plum or not, but bright colors. I kid them about it in my church. About half my church is Hispanic, that campus in Amarillo. They love colors. They love parties. They love celebrations. So we named our Latin American crusades Fiesta de Milagros. It's a celebration. It's a party of the miracles of God. That's what church is all about. It's a celebration that God is good and his power is real and Jesus' love is manifest and he works miracles in our lives. Amen? Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. I believe in mass miracle evangelism. I believe in one-on-one evangelism, television evangelism, local church evangelism. I got saved in a local church of 200 people with the song Just As I Am playing and the Spirit of God tugging on my heart. But I'm telling you that this also is a great tool, a great privilege that God has given the church. Let's reach the nations. Let's reach the world. Listen, you can be a missionary not by having to cross an ocean. You can cross your street and be a missionary. But let's not be limited to the streets of our own cities. Let's tell the world Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. We've been sent to the world. I'm just a guy from a little small town in Western Kentucky. A town of 2,000 people at the time I grew up, 2,500. I live in a town, a relatively small town of 200,000 people, and yet God has privileged me and my team to reach a nation in the last few years. I want you to watch this video. This video is from our crusade in El Progreso, Honduras, where 20,000 people gathered to receive miracles and to hear the message of the Lord Jesus. Watch this video, please.
Seen your face on stained glass and color lights and pictures of you looking to the sky. You've been portrayed a thousand different ways, but my heart can see you better than my eyes. 'Cause it's love that the portrait of your life, the face of love, the face of love. You look more like love every day. And I've read your words. one too lost for you to love, no one too low for you to serve. So give us the grace to change the world. No one too lost for me to love, no one too low for me to serve. Oh, let us see, let us be your face. Let us be your face.
But God gave his son,
pero Dios nos dio su hijo,
and instead of you and me dying,
y en lugar de que usted y yo hubiese muerto,
Jesus come on the old
cross, from the cross,
sobre la cruz,
Jesus is the Lord.
Jesus
come there.
Jesus come back in,
and he poured out his blood.
He got the most of time,
and his blood is the remedy for our sin.
A botched surgery had left that little boy's arm paralyzed without any movement. He couldn't make a fist. He couldn't move his elbow. But Jesus healed that little boy in front of that whole crowd. And he began to move that arm and began to be useful to him again. It's tremendous to see what kind of things God does. Can I give you just a couple of reports here, maybe four or five reports, and just share with you the kind of things that Jesus loves to do. We visited 59 cities so far. Next March, we'll be in the 60th. God spoke to me when I went back in the mid-90s, said, David, I want you to do a crusade in every medium and large city of this nation. It's a city of about 9 million people now. At this point, we've preached face-to-face with over 1 million people in that country, more over radio and television. And in these years, we've given away somewhere around 150,000 gospel booklets. We've seen over 100,000 people give their hearts and lives to Jesus. And we've seen, praise God. We've seen tens of thousands of people testify to being healed. In fact, I remember one service where 1,500 people said they had been healed in that service of some malady, some kind of sickness, and some kind of pain. We visited Comayagua. In the city of Comayagua, we had about 3,000 people there. A woman by the name of Veronica was instantly healed of a grapefruit-sized tumor. She said, I felt fire come into my belly, and this grapefruit-sized tumor just instantly melted and disappeared out of my stomach. In the same meeting, a 26-year-old woman, deaf-mute from birth, hearing came into her ears. She began to speak. First word out of her mouth as we led her before the crowd was Jesus, and God healed that 26-year-old woman, deaf-mute from birth. We in that city as well, there was an 8-year-old little girl who'd been diagnosed with stomach cancer, given up to die. The Honduran doctors gave up. They took her to the U.S. air base. There's a major air base right outside the city of Comayagua, Honduras. They went to the American Air Force doctors there. They gave her up to die. Then they brought her to the crusade. And one night, Jesus healed that little girl of stomach cancer, and she's still alive today because God did a miracle in her life. Praise the Lord. In Comayagua, we actually visited that city twice. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people got saved in that city. We went to Dan Lee, where 6,000 people jammed into a bull ring. You have not lived till you've heard 6,000 Latinos shouting to Jesus in a bull ring. It just echoes and keeps going round and round and round. It was amazing. In that meeting, 3 people were healed of blindness, 3 people healed of deafness, 1 person was healed of a broken back, and 900 people got saved, made Jesus the Lord of their lives, including one young man who was tragically killed in an accident the very next day. One day, one sermon, one service, one prayer helped him to make heaven his home for eternity. Praise the Lord. We went to Catacamas, 7,500 people in that city. There was a girl by the name of Bessie. Right on the, I said, who wants to be healed tonight? I hadn't even preached a sermon yet. First night, 3-night crusade. Who wants to be healed? All kind of hands go up. The Lord said, that one. He pointed at this lady. We brought her up on the stage. She was shaking and trembling all over. And I found out it was because it was a nervous. She wasn't nervous. I thought she was nervous because she was on the stage. But she was shaking violently. She said, "I always shake like this. I have a nervous disorder, and I shake and tremble all the time." Plus, she said she had an excruciating pain in her chest. She had had it for years. I said, "You know what, Bessie? God's going to heal you." I told the crowd, "God's going to heal Bessie." They're just looking at us. I said, "Yeah, and if he heals her, then that proves Jesus is alive. The Bible is true, and we're his witness tonight to give you the truth of the gospel." I laid hands on that young lady. She fell flat on the platform. She just laid there and shook for a little bit. We're just all watching. She quit shaking. We picked her up. No more nervousness, no more shaking. The pain was gone. She testified to that crowd of 7,000 people, "Jesus just healed me." I mean, the meeting was on at that point. Amen? Come on, God can do miracles and help us with this thing. He not only wants to alleviate the suffering of people, he wants the world to know that he loves people and wants to alleviate their suffering. In San Francisco de la Paz, we were preaching the gospel. We prayed a prayer for a mass prayer. A lady began to scream out in the audience. Scream, scream. I said, what's going on? It was a strange place. Olancho was the state. They call it the Texas of Honduras. But it's like going back 150 years. Virtually every man in the crusade had a six shooter or a pistol in a holster on his side, on his hip. It's like going back in the West. Man, I thought, I got to do good tonight. These guys are all got guns. You know, I don't know what's going on. It was worse than wearing A&M colors in Kentucky. It was awful. So I'm preaching the gospel, and we prayed a prayer, and this woman starts screaming. What's going on? Somebody yelled out, "She's been healed." Well, we brought her up. Lo and behold, she had been 90% deaf and broke both of her ears from birth. She had like a little smidgen of hearing, 10%. But when we prayed the prayer, sound burst into both ears, and she is completely healed, hearing perfectly. She and her husband came up and gave their testimony. They're about to leave. We're dismissing them from the stage. And I happened to think, I don't know if they're saved. I stopped them. I said, Are you all Christians? They go, "No." Then they got born again, both of them right there on the stage. And then scores and scores of other people in that crowd got born again that night because of that one lady's healing. Can you give God a praise for that? That's an awesome thing. Went to a city called Juticalpa. The first night it rained and rained and rained and rained, and I thought, well, it's rained out our meeting. And about an hour after we were supposed to start, it was supposed to start about 6 o'clock or so, at 7:30, 8 o'clock really, they came to the hotel, said, "Are you coming?" I said, "What do you mean coming? It's been raining. I mean, there's no..." They said, no, there's people there. They want a meeting. We got in the van. We went to the grounds, and there were 350 people there. And they were standing ankle deep in water, and they stayed the whole time while we preached. It's quite a meeting. 350 for the first night, but in a couple of nights, we had 3,000 or so. But in that city of Juticalpa, there was a little boy named Marco, 6 years old. He had never spoken but two words in all of his 6 years: "Mama" and "Papa." And he was prayed for. We prayed for him, but I didn't pray for him. Actually, 17-year-old Jesse Brown, you know her as Pastor Jesse Gibson, my daughter, prayed for little Marcos. And then she said, "Okay, say these words after me. Leche, that means milk." He said, "Leche." She said, "Say casa," that means house. He said, "Casa." She said, "Say Jessica." He said, "Jessica, that's Jessica." And then he said, "Jesus, that's the name of Jesus." And man, his parents were thrilled. Little Marcos was healed when a 17-year-old girl prayed for him. Jesus is the healer of the world. A man by the name of Miguel Rosa came to our Chiloma crusade. 5,000 people there. He had been crippled in his legs for 5 years, hit by, as a pedestrian, by a car. Crippled his legs, had been on crutches for 5 years. His family brought him to the crusade in the back of a pickup truck. He laid in the back of the bed of that pickup truck, just laid there staring at the sky, the stars, as we preached the gospel. We preached that Jesus wants to heal you. And we prayed a prayer for that crowd of 5,000 people. He believed Jesus to heal him. I said, "Act on your faith. See out of your eyes. Hear out of your ears. Walk on your legs." He heard that part. Walk on your legs. So he drug himself to the end of the pickup bed, threw his legs over the end of the bed, uh, the, the Tailgate. I'm trying to say tailgate. Then he picked up his crutches and put them under his arm. And he jumps out on those legs, and they held him up as he's leaning against that tailgate. He puts his right leg out, and it held. He put his left leg out, and it held. And then he started walking. He walked through that whole crowd of 5,000 people all the way to the platform. We had him up on the platform. He pushed those crutches up in the air and paraded back and forth across. God healed him of 5 years of a crippling condition in his legs because he believed the gospel. God preached the gospel to Chiloma that night. And he's done it in 59 cities. In all these 59 cities, we have never failed to see God doing healing and delivering miracles in people's lives. It's been a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. In these years that we've been doing this, we've spent well over $1.2 million to do it. We've conducted leadership seminars in over 50 cities. We've prayed with Honduran pastors, mayors, city employees, police officers, members of Congress, and even one First Lady of the nation. It's been a phenomenal thing that God has opened the door to that country to us. And now we're looking forward next March to doing this final 60th city of Tegucigalpa. Will you pray with me that God does miracles in Tegucigalpa, that we can win that capital city to God? Amen, somebody? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. And Lord, like we sang a while ago, you can do it again. Yes, you can do it for Tegucigalpa just like you did Chiloma, just like you did in Sihuatepeque, just like you did in Ocotepeque, just like you did, Lord God, in all those other cities. Lord, we're praying that you'll save the lost, that you'll heal the sick, that you'll deliver the oppressed in the mighty, mighty, miracle-working name of Jesus of Nazareth. We believe you for it. Join hands together, please. Would you do that? The Lord led me to do that. I want to pray one more prayer. Just would you join hands, whether you know them or not, they won't bite. Just reach out and touch somebody. Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Guess what? A believer is touching you right now. Surely, either that person on your right or your left is saved. Yeah, that's right. A believer is touching you. The Holy Spirit lives in that believer. Tonight or today, I've been preaching the gospel. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He's alive. He has put sin away. He has conquered Satan and all of his works. Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He destroys sin, sickness, oppression, and weakness. He's a miracle-working Jesus. And I pray for you today. I pray that Holy Spirit power will be transmitted through that believer's hands into your body. I know some of us are sick. Some of us have pain. Some of us have symptoms. In the name of Jesus, I pray that healing virtue pour through this body into sick people in Jesus' name. We command sickness, disease, pain, go from them now. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There's someone here. You've got a problem in your elbow. It's been painful for quite some time. It locks up. You don't have free movement, but there's a warmth coming over your elbow, and you're being healed right now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke lung disease, lung problems, and I command it to leave them now in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone else is being healed in your right heel. I don't know if it's maybe a spur, but there's an affliction, some type of problem in your right heel. Receive healing. Just believe it right now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Did I mention the lungs? Someone's being healed in the lungs. Lungs. God's ministering to your lungs. And someone else, pain behind your left ear in the back of your head, and I command it leave you now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you heal and that you save and that you deliver. I'm letting Pastor Jesse just give me 30 seconds or 60 seconds. There's healing power. Just sometimes it takes a little time to soak in. I'm giving it some soaking time, giving it soaking time. One night we were preaching. Just listen to this. Just let the Holy Spirit soak into your body, your muscles, your tissues, your bones. Thank you, Jesus. We were preaching one night. A lady began to yell out, scream. Oh, she screamed. She screamed because she was 7 months pregnant, and she had a broken leg. And when we were praying, her leg snapped and popped back together. The bones came back together, and God healed that pregnant woman of a broken leg right there in the crowd. You see, we don't have to touch you for healings to manifest. There's power in the name of Jesus. But we're covering our bases. We're touching. We're believing. We're laying hands on one another. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, we impart healing power. Healing power. And Lord, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's act like we're healed. Let's act like we're happy. Let's give God some praise today. Thank you, Lord.